is In Conversation from Apple News. I'm Shamita Basu. Today, the Afghan women who risked their lives to protest against the Taliban. In the early 2000s, the Taliban's influence was spreading in Pakistan. The Islamic fundamentalist group banned TV and music and said girls could no longer attend school. An 11-year-old girl, whose father was a teacher, was heartbroken, but defiant. She began speaking publicly about her passion for girls' education. Then one day, in October of 2012, when she was on the bus returning from school, a masked gunman stopped the bus, asked for her by name, and shot her in the face. She woke up 10 days later in a hospital and was told, "People around the world know your name now. Malala."
My great hope is that this will be the last time. This will be the last time we must fight for education. Let's solve this once and for all.
In 2014, she became the youngest person to ever be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for her work advocating for girls and women's rights around the world. Malala recently told me she remembers the optimism she felt around that time.
When I recovered from the Taliban attack and I received so much support from people from around the world, I was so optimistic that this support meant that all of us are now committed to protecting women's rights, and that this will never happen again. But if it does happen, the world will come together and stop it from happening.
But it is happening again, this time in Afghanistan, where the Taliban has taken over after U.S. forces withdrew from the country in 2021. In the 3 years since, the Taliban has systematically stripped women and girls of nearly all rights. They've banned school beyond sixth grade, imposed mandatory covering. They've even banned the sound of women's voices in public.
For the past 3.5 years, what we have witnessed in Afghanistan has changed my perspective completely. It has shocked me, and it has also reminded me that in tough times, there's rarely any support for women and girls to actually stand with them in solidarity. And what I worry about is that for how long and how many times will this keep happening?
Malala Yousafzai is the executive producer of a new documentary, Bread and Roses, out now on Apple TV+. It tells the story of these past few years for women and girls in Afghanistan and the bravery of so many who are putting their lives at risk to protest the Taliban. I sat down with Malala and the director of the film, Sahra Mani. Malala told me what was on her mind the day Kabul fell to the Taliban in 2021.
That week, I was recovering from one of my last surgeries. Since the Taliban had attacked me, I have had many surgeries to recover my hearing or work on my facial nerve that was hit by the bullet. And this was one of the final surgeries for restoring some of the facial symmetry that I had lost. And I just could not believe that while I'm recovering from just one bullet from the Taliban, the whole country of Afghanistan is falling to these extremists. And I just could not imagine the bullets that Afghan women and Afghan people have taken from the Taliban for more than 2 decades, and that they were now going to be in power. And if you look at the past 3.5 years, they have systematically erased women from public life, which Afghan women activists and human rights experts call a gender apartheid. And you see it in this documentary how women are every day coming across more restrictions. They are told they cannot go to a specific job, then they're told they cannot be in school, then they're told they cannot even leave their homes without a male chaperone, even if they don't have a male chaperone. More than 20% of the households have female breadwinners. And what we have seen in the past 3.5 years is that nothing has actually improved or gotten better. It's rather getting worse. And I think this is just a reminder that we have given enough time to the Taliban, and they have proven it themselves to us And this is gender apartheid that Afghan women are living under.
Sahra, you lived in Kabul up until it fell to the Taliban in 2021. You haven't been back since, of course. What does it mean to you to make a film about this while living in exile from your home?
For me, it was a bit painful that Afghanistan is introduced to the world in a different way, by news, by terrorists, by opium, by war, by violence. But while I was living in Afghanistan, I see many different faces of this country, the beauties of this country, the culture, the literature, poem, song, dance, music. But whenever I introduce myself to people that I am from Afghanistan, they keep asking me about Taliban, about terrorists. So it made me think that such a beautiful country is behind all this sad news. For me, sometimes I'm thinking the world is my home, but only I have so much responsibility toward my country because I have my camera, which gives me a lot of power, and that camera could give voice to the people of my country.
Can you explain where the title of the film comes from, Bread and Roses?
So Bread and Roses is a historical name in a women movement. But when Kabul fell, I saw the poverty in Afghanistan. And I saw that a lot of women, they lost their job and they were the sole breadwinner of their families. So they didn't have bread to feed their children. So most of these women, they were educated. They had job, but they didn't have bread on the table. At that time, I was seeing women going to the street and chanting for bread, work, education. So then later on, I come out with dignity, which is rose. The dignity that they took back from the Taliban by going to the street, risking their life and asking for things, for everything they deserve. So that's why I thought it's Rose is a very good fit that they want it. They want their own dignity, their own freedom and respect.
To understand how unbelievable it is that this documentary even got made, we need to talk about how drastically things changed after the United States withdrew from Afghanistan. In April of 2021, President Biden announced U.S. troops would be leaving after two decades.
We cannot continue the cycle of extending or expanding our military presence in Afghanistan, hoping to create ideal conditions for the withdrawal and expecting a different result. I'm now the fourth United States president to preside over American troop presence in Afghanistan. Two Republicans, two Democrats. I will not pass this responsibility onto a fifth.
In August of that year, U.S. troops were out. The Afghan government almost immediately collapsed, and the Taliban took power. It was a chaotic, volatile time. People rushed to airports, hoping to board planes with one-way tickets out of the country.
Desperate people pour onto the runway, trying to flee the country in what can only be described as a chaotic exodus. Now, people are literally clinging on to U.S. military aircrafts as they try to take off.
Amid the chaos at the airport in Kabul, a lone operative of the Islamic State detonated a bomb.
13 U.S. service members, mostly Marines, killed 170 Afghans by the ball bearings propelled by 20 pounds of explosives on the bomber.
More than 12,000 Afghans were ultimately evacuated. But for those who remained, especially for the girls and women, their lives would change completely. For the younger generation, it was particularly shocking. And some decided to fight back. In Bread and Roses, you see women protesting in the streets of Kabul.
Some of them were very young. They did not even remember what it was like when the Taliban were in control last time. They only remembered their mothers' stories and what their mothers went through. And they never thought that this would ever happen to them again.
The film mostly follows three women as they struggle to live under and fight against the new restrictions imposed by the Taliban. These women capture their own footage at great personal risk. And Sahra also hired a camera crew on the ground. She describes one character in the film, Zahra, as bright and passionate, a dentist who was forced by the Taliban to close her practice.
Zahra's story is not unique. I think her story is the story of millions of young girls. They were artists, they were doctors, they were engineers, they were really talented and educated young women with a lot of energy and be so idealist about the future.
Zahra is also an outspoken activist. You see her in the film leading protests and using her shuttered office as a meeting place for organizers. You also hear her talk with her husband about the risks she's taking. Her husband asks why she fights even though she has been threatened. And she says, yes, I've been threatened. We gave up our lives the day we demanded justice. We'd sacrifice our lives for this country and its people. At one point in the film, we learn that Zahra has been arrested. She's eventually released, and you hear her describe what she saw in the prison. She's talking there about seeing another activist, Tamanna, beaten by guards to the point where she was almost unrecognizable. Toward the end of the film, Zahra leaves Afghanistan, knowing it would be too risky for her and her family if she stayed. Here's Zahra.
I know there are so many women they arrested that they never come back home. They got killed by Taliban. And still so many women they kidnapped and we don't know where they are. Some of them, their dead body find it around the city, and some of them is still missing.
Malala told me about a moment from the documentary that stood out to her in how it captured the bravery of these women.
We see the Afghan women protesting against the Taliban one time, and the Taliban used some tear gas against them, and they try to threaten them, basically. And they want women to get scared and walk back to their homes. But in that moment, you can see how Afghan women are defying against the Taliban, and they are just challenging the Taliban that you cannot scare us by threatening to kill us, because by taking away our rights, you have already completely changed the way we live our lives. Life is not the same. We are not living it in the same meaningful way that we were before. And for so many Afghan women, this became about living their lives in dignity with full rights, that they were willing to put their lives at risk to challenge the Taliban. And they know, you know, by one protest on the street, you cannot just go and convince a Talib and they'll open a school tomorrow, or they'll allow you to open the dental clinic. We all know that. It just doesn't happen by one or two protests. But even then, it is important to keep raising our voices, because it's really important for us to make a clear stance against the Taliban that what you are doing does not represent us, it does not represent our culture, it does not represent our faith, and it does not represent our country. We have not elected you. You are not our representatives, and what you are doing is against our will, it's against our rights and dignity. And that's why their activism is at the heart of this documentary, and it's at the heart of the campaigns that we are supporting.
And you can see how the film centers these voices and these characters, these Afghan women, so well. One question that I had, and just observing from the protest scenes that we see, I don't see any men attending these protests. Very few men I would call allies to the women's cause. Zahra, where do men fit into the conversation here?
I don't know, really. Unfortunately, I haven't seen much men to support them, because during this last almost 40 years of conflict in Afghanistan, we didn't have enough time or good system to educate men and women and teach them that women's right is not about women and girls, it's about men also. Men should understand that educated mother and educated sister and educated wives works better in the family and in the society. So not even the family, but in the society, economy, the future of the country, in all aspect of life, we have to consider that this is everyone's issues and everyone's demand.
You know, one scene that really stood out to me as I was watching was when we see a bunch of young kids, and I believe that they're Zahra's nieces and nephews, perhaps, but they're a bunch of young children, girls and boys, and they are acting out protests, right? So the little girls have their signs. They're doing what they see, you know, their aunts and their elders doing, their signs to protest, protesting for their rights. And then a little boy comes with a toy gun and pretends to spray them with tear gas. And the girls are screaming. They're basically play acting things that they know to be real. But what was also inspiring in that scene, you know, the girls are reacting, but then they're saying, we're stronger together. I wonder what you think about these children and their futures in Afghanistan. They are witnessing the protests of today, what will come tomorrow.
I'm worried about the children of Afghanistan because it's not just about the girls right now who do not have access to education, who have been barred from their schools for more than 1,000+ days, but it's also the future generations of girls who will never see a classroom again. And that's why, for me, it is so important that we keep fighting for protecting women's rights. One thing I have learned just witnessing what's happening in Afghanistan is that the rights that we are protecting for women is such a fragile thing. And you just don't know when they would be taken away from you. And what I worry about is that for how long and how many times will this keep happening? When it comes to the human rights of women and girls, or just human rights in general, there should be this unity, this universal agreement that we will protect it for women everywhere in any part of the world. And that's the change that I hope to see.
To add to what you said, I have to say that the Taliban, they send their own daughter abroad to get education. But they don't want the same things for Afghan women. It means that they understand that education could make women and girls powerful, give them power, hope, and future. Mm. So maybe that's the reason they don't want women to get education, because it seems that uneducated mother is easier to brainwash than educated mother in the family. I'm sure Taliban have plan for the future, but the world doesn't have any plan for the Taliban. So it's not about women in Afghanistan. It's about our security and the future of our world, the future of our children in this world.
Despite the oppression women and girls are facing in Afghanistan and America's longstanding involvement in the country, the world has been slow to respond. Western leaders have condemned some of the Taliban's actions, but have done little to challenge them. Humanitarian organizations, including the Malala Fund, have been advocating for more global attention on Afghan women's rights. Malala told me she's encouraged that the UN has started talks to define gender apartheid as a crime against humanity, but there's still more to do.
We still need a global commitment to protecting women's rights, and that can include ways in which we could bring in new legislations like the codification of gender apartheid. We could have strict laws, we could have accountability in place, and we could have a better way of negotiating with groups like the Taliban.
Malala and Sahra hope this documentary can be another part of the solution. We talked earlier about how unlikely it was that this film ever got made, for on-the-ground reasons. But a film like this also could easily have not been made if not for the backing of American actress Jennifer Lawrence, who's a producer on it. She took an interest in the plight of Afghan women and threw her support behind Sahra to make the movie. At a recent premiere, Lawrence said none of it was easy.
There were so many challenges to making this movie. It's illegal to make. It was really hard to find financing for something that you don't know how is going to end. And we were in and out of contact for you know, weeks, months at a time.
Now that it's out, the creators are starting to see its impact. Sahra told me that recently, officials at an embassy in Europe agreed to help evacuate some women activists from Afghanistan, saying they had watched the film and were moved.
And it's really surprised me that, wow, people in embassy, they watched it and they want to help us with evacuation. Imagine.
Meanwhile, the women and girls who remain in Afghanistan are still struggling to find small ways to take up space, to access education where they can. Malala says that they're taking huge risks to make sure they don't move backward.
There are so many Afghan women and girls who are trying to get their education through these online platforms, through YouTube, through these secret schools. And when you ask them, you know, why are they doing that if the Taliban do not allow them to go to work, or what if the Taliban are in power for a very long time? But it's still that spark of hope that they all have in their heart that the Taliban, hopefully, will not be in power for that long. And they will be able to have Afghanistan that they had dreamed of. And they will be the ones who will be the leaders and change makers of their country. So the education that they are receiving right now in any form is so valuable to them, because tomorrow they will be rebuilding their country.
Any last thoughts that you two want to share that you want, especially an American audience, to have in mind as they watch the film?
For me, I just want to tell them, be brave and want same things you want for your own daughter, for these girls in Afghanistan.
I would just simply ask that when you finish watching the documentary, give a bit more time to think more about Afghan women and girls and how you can support them. I hope that you just don't stop thinking about them as soon as you turn off the television. There is so much more to do, and every step that you take means a lot. And I think we do the easy part in this documentary, that we are just capturing it on camera. The most challenging part, the difficult part, is the work that the Afghan women and girls are doing. And I have a lot of hope. I have a lot of hope because it is the only thing that keeps you going, that helps you wake up the next day and get up. And so go out and support Afghan women activists, their charities, support their campaign, spread their stories, make their voices louder, make them visible. All of these efforts are extremely important, extremely helpful. And all the Afghan women activists would really appreciate if you share your support and solidarity in any form.
Malala and Safra, thank you both so much for your time. Thank you for this documentary. Thank you for introducing the world to these women and their voices.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was so nice talking to you.
Bread and Roses is out now on Apple TV+. We'll put a link to it in our show notes page.